From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 12. The theme of the chapter is the believer's response to the gospel. In the preceding message, Dr. Cairns focused on verse 1. There, the Apostle Paul reminded the Christians in Rome that because of what Christ had done for them on the cross, they are called to lives of self-sacrifice and of service to God. In verse 2, Paul wrote, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here the emphasis is upon the believer's separation from the world. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the first portion of this message entitled, "Call to a Life of Separation." First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. "I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." There are different translations of these words. One version renders it, "I will show thee great and fortified things." Another, "great and reserved things." Now there are reserved and special things in Christian experience. All the developments of spiritual life are not alike easy of attainment. There are the common frames and feelings of repentance and faith and joy and hope, which are enjoyed by the entire family. But there is an upper realm of rapture, of communion, and conscious union with Christ, which is far from being the common dwelling place of believers. We have not all the high privilege of John to lean upon Jesus' bosom, nor of Paul to be caught up to the third heaven. There are heights in experimental knowledge of the things of God which the eagle's eye of acumen and philosophic thought hath never seen. God alone can bear us there. But the chariot in which he takes us up and the fiery steeds with which that chariot is dragged are prevailing prayers. Prevailing prayer is victorious over the God of mercy. By his strength he had power with God, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Prevailing prayer takes the Christian to Carmel and enables him to cover heaven with clouds of blessing and earth with floods of mercy. Prevailing prayer bears the Christian aloft to Pisgah and shows him the inheritance reserved. It elevates us to Tabor and transfigures us till in the likeness of his Lord as he is, so are we also in this world. If you would reach to something higher than ordinary groveling experience, look to the rock that is higher than you, and gaze with the eye of faith through the window of importunate prayer. When you open the window on your side, it will not be bolted on the other.
Gently the cross
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Romans chapter 12. And again, we're going to read the opening verses. Last week we read the entire chapter, but we're going to read the opening verses of this chapter together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll finish the reading at the end of the second verse. If the Lord enables us to get a lot further, we read as we go. This, as I said last Sabbath evening, is the final section of the great epistle to the Romans. We have been through the deep theology, especially the theology of the gospel, the message of a free justification by what the Protestant reformers like to term the imputation of an alien righteousness. By that they have to be understood in their own context. By alien, they did not mean a righteousness that was other than human, because it was the righteousness of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, imputed to us. But by alien, they meant a righteousness outside of our own effort, our own accomplishment, and our own merit. Every false religion in the world, whether it goes under the name of some Christian denomination, sect, or some cult, whether it is heathen through and through, every false religion in the world has something that runs through them all, and it is a belief in the saving efficacy of the work and the merit of the individual, either in whole or in part. The individual accomplishes his own salvation. That's true in every false religious scheme. Only in the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, revealed in the Holy Scriptures, expounded at length and in depth by the Apostle Paul in this epistle to the Romans, do we have the glorious truth that for condemned sinners, depraved in their sin, dead in their sin, damned in their sin, without any power of recuperation on their part, any ability or even any will to perform that which is good and holy in the sight of God, without any contribution of merit from them to any degree or in any description, sinners are saved by the merit of Christ, not only because, and I don't want to be misunderstood here, so listen carefully, not only because of some fuzzy statement of an evangelical, well, we're saved because Jesus died for us. That is true. But so often it is fuzzy in that it does not follow through to the details of why we are saved because he died. I remember asking that question of a very bright and brilliant young university student who was having tremendous difficulties with the issue of the assurance of her salvation. And I asked her, what is the connection? Why should you be saved because Jesus Christ died? And she was at a loss. She'd been in Bible-believing churches all her days. She had taken Bible classes through school. And yet this had never dawned on her. She couldn't give an answer. Why should his dying have the effect of causing our living? Why should his dying free us from condemnation? And the truth is that most professed evangelicals could not answer that question. When I asked, what is the formal basis upon which God would set you free because Jesus Christ died, she looked blankly at me and honestly couldn't give an answer. I said, is it any wonder you have difficulty with the assurance of salvation? There were other issues that had to be dealt with, but that was a fundamental issue. Is it any wonder you are locked in to that decision you made? You're wondering, is it good enough? Was it sincere enough? Did I weep enough? Did I feel enough? Have I meant it enough? Have I been true to it enough? Was my decision good enough to get me to heaven? That's ultimately what it comes down to, unless you know that there is a formal basis that will stand the test in the high court of heaven, upon which God sets a sinner free because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul has been explaining that formal basis throughout this epistle to the Romans. It is in 2 Corinthians that he sums it up in another text that I have quoted again and again, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, who knew no righteousness, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God imputed our sin to Christ, being our covenant head, truly man as well as truly God. He was able to stand in our place, and as the last Adam, the second man, you see, really, ideally, in God's dealings with humanity, there are only two men. The first Adam and the last Adam. And everybody else in all of history, including you and I, everybody else is comprehended in one of those two Adams. In the first Adam, we all died. Everyone associated with the first Adam by natural generation died in him and with him and came under condemnation. Romans 5 and 12 makes that clear. And everyone in the second Adam is made alive, because as the first Adam sinned, the second Adam was righteous. And that second Adam, that last Adam, took our sin. God imputed it all to him. And he died taking what we deserved. And God, in an act of sovereign grace, not only has removed the guilt of our sin in Christ — may surprise you to let you know that that in itself would not get any of us to heaven. Doesn't give you a title to heaven. But what does give you the title to heaven is that God takes all the righteousness of Christ, all the merit of Christ, his deserving of heaven, and he puts it over to us. He imputes it. He accounts it. He places it to our name, to our credit, to our account. And we stand before him accepted in the beloved. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what the first 11 chapters of Romans really are all about. God's justifying grace by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We come to chapter 12 now, and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, understand what he's saying. He's saying, this now is where what you believe all works out in your life. You see, you can say, I'm a Protestant, and go on and live like the devil, because it's just a slogan, it's just a title. You can say, I'm a Roman Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. You can say those things, and really they make very little impact upon your life. But you cannot honestly come to the first 11 chapters of Romans and say, I believe that, and walk on as if you had just recited the time of day. You see, this is fundamental. If I believe what Paul is saying about God's way of salvation, if I believe that God took all my guilt and sin and imputed it to Christ, and God took all the righteousness of Christ and imputed it to me, if I believe that God has so united me with His Son that He will never deal with His Son apart from me, and He will never deal with me apart from His Son, if I believe that, that has got to be the most overwhelming thought in my mind. That has got to be the most formative idea that has ever gripped my soul. That has got to be the governing principle of my life. You see, we live in a day when there's so much easy believism. And the trouble about easy believism is it's easy, but it's not believism. Doesn't believe anything. It pays lip service. You get people trotting up and down the aisle and they come to a so-called altar. There is no altar in a Christian church outside of Jesus Christ. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That's the only altar. That's a table, not an altar. We're Protestants, not Papists. We're Christians, not heathens. This is a pulpit, not an altar. Christ is our altar. But even in evangelical and fundamental and even Reformed churches, you have people running up and down the same aisle every week to a so-called altar. And they go away. It's easy. It's a shallow, immediate, emotional response that leads nowhere. The trouble is it's not believing. If it were believing, it would grip the heart, it would grip the soul. And I want to be as honest with you tonight. I want to be as kind and gentle and loving as I can be. But you and I are going to stand before God. And I want to be honest with you. Dr. Barrett talked about a somber meeting or some word like that we had this morning. And this follows on from what I was saying then. My subject this morning was a Christian parent's worst nightmare. Raising his children for the devil. And I want to follow on from that and tell you tonight, whatever your family background, whatever your church history, if you sit in this meeting glibly saying, yes, I believe, but that believing can be put on the back burner, and you live your life without reference to God, without reference to Christ, without reference to the gospel, without reference to what you profess to believe, you are kidding yourself. You see, if we believe this, this takes the central place in the heart and becomes the governing principle of the soul. Thus, in these verses of Romans chapter 12, Paul describes a life yielded to God as the believer's response to the gospel. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, on the basis of all these many mercies, when you look at Jesus Christ, when you consider who He is, when you consider what He's done, when you consider what we as believers are and have in Him, Paul says, I beseech you to do these things.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.